This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder.
The podcast, your weekly true crime podcast.
Hosted by Karen Kilgariff.
And Georgia Hardstark.
And that's us.
And there's Steven over there on the ones and twos. making it even.
Happening-er. What were you going to say?
He's making it happening-er.
He's making it happening and making it happening-er.
Because he took an improv class. Uh-huh. He knows how to heighten.
He yes-anded.
He yes-anded our eternal improv that is this podcast.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And.
Yes, and. That's correct.
The hanging and.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of actually relevant things have happened since we last recorded.
Yeah.
For us to catch up on.
Yeah. Because last week we put up a live episode.
Mm-hmm.
So when we missed that week, we missed the talking.
Yeah.
So we have to talk about the Oscars,
for example. What a monologue. Yeah. The thing I was going to say, which I'm excited to talk about, is the four-part ID channel series called The Golden State Killer. It is not over.
Yes. I was like, it's not over. Oh.
That's the full title.
It was four. Yes.
Every time that title card would come up, I'd be like, it's okay. We get it. It's not over.
Yeah. So The Golden State Killer now is on the fucking tip of everyone's lips.
That's right.
Because Michelle McNamara's book came out.
Yeah.
And I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which I've been listening to obsessively.
Yeah.
Almost done, and I don't want to finish it, so I'm listening to other shit so I don't have to,
you know? So it won't be over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not over.
No, I know. It's
as
not
they say,
over.
It's correct. It's not over.
You know what's funny is so Patton Oswalt, who is Michelle's husband, sent us copies of the book,
mm-hmm,
so that we could have it because he knows. But I forgot that I had pre-ordered it long, long ago.
Right.
So I had two copies. I was holding yours because he sent them both to my house. Then a couple days later, I got a third copy. So now me, you, and Steven all have copies of Michelle's book. But the cool news is that Patton just sent me a picture today of the New York Times book review bestsellers list. Michelle is number one on the nonfiction list.
Yes.
Yeah, she's number one. And it's so cool. Like, it's so, as a person who followed her from the True Crime Diary, and I used to just pore over that thing, I remember the post that she wrote when she talked about how Eron's original Night Stalker, that it was too confusing and it needed a better title. And it was her idea to call him the Golden State Killer.
Which is so forward thinking.
Yes.
In a way that's you know, this needs to be, people need to know what this is, because there's all these victims who are not getting the attention that they deserve to have their case solved. So if we give it a better name, people will pay attention to it more.
Exactly.
Which is so smart. It's not something I would ever have thought of, that's important and why.
Yeah, she was very masterful, and her whole approach to it was so good. She got cops to start talking to each other, to share information. It's a very cool story, and I'm sure most of the people listening to this are either reading it right now or listening to it right now in some way. I'm sure that has a lot to do with those numbers on that list. So good job, you guys. I'm so excited and thrilled that she gets that kind of remembrance, and also that it gets that level of exposure.
Yeah.
But you know what I was going to say is that ID channel, I was actually looking, because it's produced so well, and
it
is a company called Sirens Productions,
uh-huh,
which makes me think it's the ladies, but they have survivors. They have victims of the Golden State Killer when he was the East Area Rapist in Sacramento, and some people from down here. But I'm thinking of those first, when the first couple of his like original victims were talking, I got really nervous that it was like, how is this going to get handled?
Right.
And they were the, it was just that thing of like people who had been through the shit.
Strong. The victims that were interviewed here, and like the victims' family members were interviewed as well, are strong, fucking resilient people. It's
that are just there to be like, we want this solved. We want anybody who knows anything. And we,
because it's really frustrating. And like, I'm knee deep in it right now from watching that and from listening to the book, and of course after, you know, I go on Reddit and I read all the message boards and I read all the theories, and so I'm kind of in that phase of like being inside of this insane case, and it's really frustrating and angering because it doesn't make any fucking sense that it hasn't been solved, that he hasn't been found. It doesn't make any sense,
except for the fact that it was the 70s in the beginning, and then he did the classic thing that every time, it's like when you switch cities or change jurisdictions, but it's communication like
as soon as they found that out, there is enough evidence, and I'm saying this for like the cops too, there must be so frustrated with this, is like to piece those then together and be like, okay, this is the suspect we thought it was, and now we can match him up because he was in Irvine too, and it almost would make it more solvable now, but it's not.
Well, yes, because it's not like there is a database. It's that thing where when you try to look anything up from before 1990, there's nothing there because it was all paper or it was documented in some other way. Like that was I loved the fact that they had the female detective who worked on it in the 70s, who was the woman who was speaking. I was telling Georgia this, she was speaking at that very infamous, the town hall meeting where a man stood up, said, I don't understand. This is impossible that anybody could, if there's a man in the house, that anybody would, that their wife would be attacked.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And then like a month later, that family was attacked. Totally. Which is horrifying. And they know then that meant he was there and he was this really high level predator. But this detective in this meeting is telling the women in the room, she literally says the words, don't be polite, attack him and try to injure him. If you can at all, if you get the upper hand in any way, try to injure him. And hearing a woman in 1977 go, don't be polite to people.
She says like, we've been raised to be polite and and don't do that and blah, blah. It's incredible.
And to this day, she's as sharp as a tack. She looks amazing. She's like right there, and she's, everything she said was just so, you know, it was all about, we need the salute. We need the families that have gone through so much that are still living with this weird fear because nothing was resolved, that they need that resolution.
It's just the whole story I'm like kind of obsessed with and gives me the creeps. And I think for you and I, it being in California and northern for you and southern for me, and these in our neighborhoods that we're from, and kind of, I think what's so freaky is that he went to these planned communities that were, you know, family communities, and just terrorize them, like houses almost next door houses, attacking and raping women inside of them. It's just, the whole story is a nightmare, and the fact that it hasn't been
planning
solved.
Like that it wasn't,
and he's weird, there's something wrong with him,
like
not just obviously a rapist, there's something wrong with him, but the stuff that he takes, eating and hanging out, and he's like
he's got some, you can tell there's some narrative in his head. And what's okay, and also, can we just talk for one second about what are the odds that you have a story and a case that's this insane and compelling and years long, and then one of the lead investigators is just a simply beautiful TV ready detective.
Detective Holes.
Every time he spoke, I was like, your teeth are perfectly white.
Oh my God. He looked like RoboCop.
Yes. He looked like his Hunter. Remember that old 80s TV show Hunter?
Oh, no.
Where the guy, they literally had the FCC came and said, you have to wear underwear.
What?
You never heard about that?
No.
Hunter.
My mom must have kept it from me.
she was like, go to bed. Mommy's going to watch Hunter.
Well, you know what I keep doing in my obsessiveness is like Who did my mom date at that time? Because he was in Irvine in 1986, so I was 6 years old. So I'm like, did my mom date anyone at that time? Is that who the murderer is? Oh. Like, it's so scary.
So scary.
But yeah, it's just like, it blows my mind.
It has to get solved.
I know, and it's going to be really exciting when it does. But also bittersweet for Michelle. And like listening to the book, every time they say, or every time in the book it says, like, the next chapter is accumulated from her notes.
Yeah.
It just hurts me in the heart every time I see that or hear that.
Yeah.
Because it's just, and then the obsession, and I kind of, it reminded me a lot of that obsession that I used to have at a desk job when I would just sit and read blogs like that and stories like that, which weren't written in that way then. They were kind of just like stories you had kind of put together based on, you know, Reddit and stuff like that. It's just,
yeah, because her writing is so, it's true crime written gorgeously.
Yeah.
So like when I used to read that blog, you would just read these stories and like I have all these stories stuck in my head, not because, oh, it's because she wrote it almost first person in this way. Like she got so into what was happening in this person's life and then they disappeared. And it's just,
she really got what it's like to be obsessed with true, to be a person who can't sleep and just is obsessed with true crime and obsessed with a case or cases or anything. It definitely feels like what people have said to us, which is like, you made me not seem like, feel like a weirdo because of it. It feels like I'm not a creep for being this obsessed with true crime to the point where I can't sleep at night.
Well, because it's these questions that it's the worst case scenario, something happening, and then just unanswered questions.
Yeah.
So it's what are the events leading up to this? How did it happen? Why did it happen?
Yeah.
Like those are things that it's better than a TV show or something like that. It's like and I don't mean better. It's more interesting and engaging and kind of like, this is a fellow human being that just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Right. And it's like, and this and that, but the way she tells the story of the victim and tells you who they are, you know, before what happens to them happens, is, it gives it such a more vivid and such a fuller picture of how horrible it was to live in that time, to be a victim, to live in that neighborhood at the time, to be scared. I had no clue. I couldn't picture it until she kind of explained it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, like, that book starts off with, like, her, like, how it's first started for her. Mm-hmm. And it was because there was a murder in her town.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, that murder was fucked up, too. Oh, my God. I can't wait to start reading it again, which I'm going to.
Yeah, it's bittersweet, but it's also cool that it's out there, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see.
And that her name will forever be, you know, when they do catch this guy, her name will, because they're going to, there's no way it's not going to happen, but her name will always be connected to this case that obsessed her.
Yes.
Which is...
And what I also think is cool in that special is how they really featured the, what were they calling them? The like... The people that were trying to solve it online.
Oh, citizen sleuths? Armchair sleuths?
Yeah,
or citizen sleuths?
Citizen sleuths.
I think it was citizen, which we laughed every time they said it.
Yeah. But
it sounds so stupid,
it's stupid.
True. I get it.
And when you, like, on the surface, but those guys digging into this research.
Oh my
God. Talk about doing the hardest work of all, which is just like, we went through records. This is the company that was building houses at this time.
Yeah.
Like they're taking the police evidence and matching it to records and then going like that. It's amazing.
And I think all of that combined, the fact that there isn't some fucking woman coming forward being like, yeah, so my stepbrother was a creep back then and you might want to look into him.
Right.
We lived in Sacramento. Our grandma lived in fucking Goleta and you need to look into him. Like, how has that not happened yet?
I don't know. Or maybe it's people who don't either. I don't know. It makes me think of like...
Someone has a hunch that it's their... whatever,
but
nephew.
Maybe they don't want to face it, or they don't want it to be real.
Well, I said to Vince when we were talking about this kind of thing, I was like, and then we were talking about how Ted Kaczynski's brother is the one who fucking was like, you need to look into my brother, and how hard that must have been. And I was like, would you turn in your brother if you found out something was going on? He was like, absolutely I would. In a fucking heartbeat. Like, it's people like us that were like, yes, I'd be so stoked to be like, look at Asher, he fucking did it. Not because I want to my brother to be a murderer, but because it's like, you can't do that. It's not okay. But then I was like, well, what if you thought suspected something about me? And he was like, oh, well, we'd have to have a long talk. Like, I don't know what that means.
You get one final breakfast.
Right.
We talk it over for breakfast.
I thought you were to say you get one murder and that's it.
You know, and in this relationship, I'll give you one freebie. It's the murder hall pass. Anyway, it's just kind of, it's just so strange and it's all kind of coming to the fore now.
Yeah.
But it's also good. On a happy note, this is an email that Stephen found for us, that just pulled for us. Karen, Georgia, Stephen and Assorted Pets. First off, your Columbus, Ohio show was great. I just wanted to let you know that my husband greatly appreciated your huge shout out for his website, www.pumpkinshow.com. I think your mention just increased the show's foot traffic for this year.
Oh my God.
The Columbarinos are expecting, to have a meetup at the show.
Oh my God, the Pumpkin Show?
Yes.
I love it.
That is... Okay. My husband is a native of Circleville, and he's been involved with the Pumpkin Show since the late 90s and has done their website since then. He even purchased a domain name.
Holy shit.
When no one even knew what a domain name was. He is also the photographer of the giant pumpkins in your slide
and
most of the pictures on the site. We were cracking up the whole time as Circleville is serious about their pumpkins. It is the oldest and largest show of its kind in the country and maybe the world. Thanks again for the shout out on the show. Safe travels around the globe, ladies.
Oh my God, like going to the Pumpkin Show.
Yeah, right? Maybe Tiffany and Kevin.
That's amazing.
Kevin's the webmaster for www.pumpkinshow.com.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
So funny.
I love the reach is just far reaching.
I mean, here's the thing. In our experiences, when you go onto a website, it's a high quality website, you give credit because that credit is due.
Mm.
How many websites are there out there?
Mm-mm.
It was just sitting out there excellently.
Mm-hmm.
Unknown.
Waiting to be grabbed.
Waiting to be seen.
And talked about.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We did it.
And you did it. We did it.
We all did it.
We did it together, you guys.
Now we start the podcast that's all about life.
That we wanted to start originally.
Uh-huh. Remember when we talked about it?
Yeah, about pumpkins.
Pumpkins.
And life.
It's basically a podcast where we out a way to sue Kevin for www.pumpkinshow.com and it's, we take ownership.
Called Squad Gourds. If we could get a hacker to please hack the Pumpkin Show website.
Oh.
I'm kidding. No, don't do it. Stop it, hacker. This hacker's like, her hands are like over the keyboard about to be like, do, 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 whatever the fuck they do on movies.
She's got fingerless gloves.
Yes.
And she's got.
Numbers are going, numbers in her head.
She's drinking coffee, doing lines.
Yeah.
Just like hacking.
And then we're like, wait, Melissa, hold it.
Don't do that.
What's her hacker name?
It's Melissa 8.
Melissa 8, hack your life.
It's Dark Web Melissa.
Dark Web Lissa. Lissa in the dark.
Yep. Liza with a Z.
Liza.
Yeah.
And that's it. That whole thing was her name. What we just.
.com/.net.
Yeah.
What are hackers really like? Let us know if you're a hacker.
They're the people who, when you're at the coffee shop and they have a full computer there and they're using 8 outlets, those are them. They're not cool.
It's always hackers always work in cafes.
Wait, I don't want to insult any hackers though, because
I wouldn't. That's all the lights go off.
Terrible
right now.
Idea.
Didn't you watch Mr. Robot or whatever the fuck that show's called?
I did.
It was good.
That's so good.
It's really good.
Hackers. We love you.
Unite.
We have a tribute to you. They all look like Angelina Jolie in the movie.
That's right.
Hackers. Was it called Hackers?
The show Hackers. The movie
show?
Hackers?
Movie Hackers.
No. I know the movie you're talking about. It's where Johnny Lee Miller, the British actor, and
Ryan
Angelina Jolie.
Was Ryan Felipe in that?
I don't know.
Picture?
I think Steven's going to tell us.
Okay.
I think it's called something like The Motherboard.
Mm.
No, that's not correct.
Mm. Well, I do know what movie you're thinking of. Antitrust with Ryan Felipe.
Okay.
Did I just mash up two?
That was another
movies? Okay.
Classic mashup.
Okay. Was he a hacker in that?
He was like, it was like Bill Gates was played by, not Tim Robbins.
Chris Cooper?
I forget what his name is, but he like was like a Bill Gates type, and he was.
We need a Steven to look up for our Steven.
That's right.
He was like it was like a Bill Gates guy who was like stealing like young people's technology, and Ryan Felipe was like uncovering
this young conspiracy, people.
The conspiracy.
What's the other one?
The MTV website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And this Hackers was Angelina Jolie. It was released in 95.
It was called Hackers.
Shit. They just went for the lowest common denominator.
Yeah. Johnny Lee Miller.
Did it have a Z in it?
No, unfortunately.
Shit.
That's the remake.
Now, what was the movie The Motherboard that I'm talking about?
was there a movie called The Motherboard? A B movie in the 60s.
about women with children who get tied to boards.
Or just like the mom is bored and they like, okay, whatever.
The Motherboard. Or it could be a female CEO with children.
Mm.
The Motherboard. She's in charge. Yeah, she makes all the decisions.
You know what? I'm going to try. Parenting's not working. I'm going to try acting like a computer. I'm going to I'm gonna make a computer version of me, the mom.
Yes.
As a stand-in. It looks exactly like her, but she's controlling it.
Yep.
Listen.
From what's this called?
Why did I pick a name I can't say? I don't know.
Saint-Tropez. Now, if you
Bora,
were
Bora,
10
Bora.
Years older, from Bora Bora Bora. If you were 10 years older, you would know that because it's from the Band de Soleil commercial.
Oh,
the theme song Band de Soleil. Back when we didn't know anything about SPF or. Skin cancer. Mm-hmm. Band de Soleil was essentially Wesson oil in a beautiful bottle. And in the summer, you would just put, it smelled so good.
It's just baby oil to lay in the sun in.
Yes.
And give yourself cancer.
And there was a little bit of orange dye in it so that you kind of,
nuh-uh.
You would seem tan just by putting it on.
Wow.
And the themes or the jingle was, Band de Soleil for the Saint-Tropez tan.
Oh my god!
Just the lady, a white lady, uh-huh. who was the brownest she could possibly be, in a tight, wet bun, emaciated, like super coked,
string bikini,
inverted stomach, like 80s skinny,
yeah,
with like pearls or whatever, but next to a pool, but so oiled that she reflected the sun back onto other people around the pool. It was so high glamour.
Oh my god!
That's all I wanted to do was have a Saint-Tropez tan when I was 10.
Sure. I mean, I still do. If I'm gonna be honest.
Band de Soleil. Have you seen that commercial, Steven?
No.
Nobody's seen it. I haven't seen it.
I'm like the last fucking white rhino. I'm so old, and I only me and a handful of people know my references.
That reminds me, you're gonna. We Vince and I just remembered that you're gonna be. Birthday
92.
You're gonna be birthing when we're in Europe, right?
When we're in Oslo.
Oh, cool!
It's my birthday.
Ooh, let's go find like a reindeer restaurant and fucking eat reindeer for your birthday.
Okay,
great.
Let's eat a live reindeer. Let's catch and kill.
Right. Yeah.
Gorgeous animals.
Let's do it.
Do you remember in Chef's Table? I think it's season one, maybe season two. There's the guy who his restaurant is Viking food.
No.
Did you not watch that series?
I don't think I did. I meant to.
I thought you would. I just automatically assumed you would.
You would think that, you know? I get it.
He gives you a dish and he lights like peat moss on fire and then cooks like three herring.
Or like it's like a bowl and it's like a bog water.
Yes.
And it's like, have you seen the bodies in the bog?
Yeah, you mean the ones that have always been there?
The bog bodies?
Yeah. Ones that are kind of orange?
Yeah.
They have hair?
Yeah.
And faces?
And nails?
Yo, yeah.
Ooh, look that up, you guys. That's fucking, that's a big bog hole to get into.
Get into that bog hole.
So you want to go to that restaurant? Do you want to go get Viking food?
Yes, but I think we'd have to drive like 4 hours north of Oslo or wherever we are. I'm not even sure it's in Norway.
Vince.
Which is the worst part.
That's for Vince to find out. That's for our tour manager.
Steven, will you look really quick just so I'm not a total fool in case if this is like in a very obvious other like
I don't think you need a
Nordic country, I'm going to get really depressed. But I think it is Norway.
Well, you wouldn't know the name of the restaurant. You're just asking him to look up what?
Okay. Yeah, I'm just asking him to confirm me and just affirm me as a person.
I hear you, Karen.
I don't even know how you'd look.
I hear what you're saying.
I hear that you're saying Hackers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you you're wrong. It's the Motherboard.
Okay,
can I just say this? We haven't really talked about The Alienist recently.
Oh, yeah. Are you watching?
Yes. Loving it.
My machine isn't TiVoing it.
Is it not?
Because it's not a TiVo. One, it's a fucking DirecTV. But two, in addition,
it starts at 6.
It didn't record it. Is it good?
It's so good. I watch every episode twice.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Because I love the fucking art direction.
Yeah.
I want to go back in time, please. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what it would really look like to walk down the street in like Lower East Side.
Here's what I think you would notice. Not what it looks like, but the smell.
Yeah.
You gotta think about that, man. It stunk so bad.
Everybody stunk and it stunk. But still, the visual of it.
I mean, did they even have toilet paper back then?
No, they used papyrus.
Right?
Uh-huh. From the Bible?
Uh-huh. Swinging back around, the restaurant was Favviken, and it's in Sweden. So,
but we're going to Sweden.
But you are going to Sweden.
Oh, we are?
So. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you'll be in Stockholm. So it doesn't say what city.
I bet it's only 7 hours outside of Stockholm.
We're going to a McDonald's for your birthday. Look,
you know.
You're getting real complicated.
I'm going to be like, I don't know. It's just like the McDonald's here is better.
Yeah. It feels more real.
It's like I can taste the clogs. But I bet you there's some fancy restaurant that's there.
Yeah.
Shit. Sorry, guys.
No, whatever.
I was actually, you know who knows a lot about Norway?
Norwegians?
Is our accountant.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
She was talking all about... If we go, she was so excited that we're going to Europe.
Oh my God.
So excited that we're going to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
She started naming all these places we need to go in Amsterdam and things we need to do.
I'm down for that.
One of the things she said is so worth it. You can get on a bus and go to tulip farms.
Right.
Big, huge tulip farms and just walk around and see because they're going to be in bloom while we're there.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
I like tulips.
I love tulips so much.
So much I love them.
We're going to see them in the ground.
We're going to see them growing in the ground.
Big, big swaths of purple tulips. God, guys.
Cool. Mm-hmm. God and, you know.
All his friends.
All his friends are there and they're happy for you and they're ready for you.
It's going to be the best feeling.
It's going to be the best. It's going to be a tulip farm.
We're going to meet God in Amsterdam and go to a tulip farm with him.
All the fucking religious people just unsubscribed. Tulip lovers,
right?
Unsubscribe.
What? They should be on our side.
I know. I don't know why they're so mad at us.
We're
in this story.
We're kissing their fucking asses now.
We're fucking blowing them up right now.
We're like, oh, do you like tulips? We like what you like.
Yeah, tulip murderinos are like
tulipino.
Finally, our time. Yeah,
Jerry Tulipino.
Yeah. There you go. Jesus Christ,
guys. A full apologies.
All of apologies.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Who goes first this week?
Karen.
Kilgareth.
All right. None other than Karen Kilgareth.
Now,
from Columbus?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm from Northern California. So, when I sat down to do my murder this week, tonight, 4 hours ago, I was like, here's what I did. So, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, how somebody accidentally ordered, they meant to order themselves packets of the true crime trading cards, uh-huh. and they ended up ordering boxes, so uh-huh. they gave us each one.
Yeah.
I was sitting there, and I have this really weird habit of, like, when I'm, like, what I like to call processing my mail, quote unquote, I just put things in piles on my counter mm-hmm. and then spend days figuring out where they need to go in my house. Uh-huh. And that true crime, the box of true crime cards was sitting on my counter unopened, and I kept moving it around.
Yeah.
Like, people would come over.
Where's it going to live?
Right. Well, I decided it doesn't fucking need to live. I'm opening that box and I'm opening every packet.
Shut the fuck
yeah.
up.
Yeah. This is my box. And why am I going to, like, save it like yeah. some Star Wars nerd? Sorry. And then...
unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. Steven gets up, storms out, throws himself over the railing of the podcast Steven. Loft. But I was like, why am I saving this? This is my thing that I like. I want to look at every
I love
one of these
it.
Cards.
Go crazy.
So I opened all of them. The problem was I got halfway through and realized these are always going to, there's only like say five sets.
Right.
And I'm just repeating them.
So you have, yeah, I see what you're saying.
But my worry was I would think that was true and then miss a set. So then I just opened every single one.
And this just says so much about how different you and I are, because I'm like, that must be so freeing, because I can't open mine, because it's like, no, you'll ruin it. You're going to ruin it, Georgia. Don't ruin everything.
But how do you ruin the thing that's supposed to be for you?
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter 100%.
That's what I realized, because you know that thing... I had my friends over for game night, which is my... It was so fun. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I had people over in a really long time. Mm-hmm. And it was... I kind of like felt like I had to, because it had already gotten hosted a couple other yeah. times.
So they're like waiting on you.
Yes. Basically put up or shut up. Oh, so when I was cleaning my house, I was like, there's so much clutter and bullshit yeah. in this house that I don't need or want.
Yeah.
But I have a weird connect. Like, I feel like I'm not allowed to throw it away.
Yeah, I get it.
So I tried to start doing that thing of like, does it bring you joy? Put it in your hand for 3 seconds uh-huh. and then throw away anything you don't need or truly want. And when I looked at that box of things, I'm like, I want to know what every card is.
Sure.
So why don't I just find out?
Do it. I love it.
So now I have a stack this big.
Oh my God.
That okay. I've sussed through. We've done this already. I've never heard of this. I've heard of this.
Okay.
And now I have my new stack, which is the best feeling.
Organized. I love it.
That has nothing to do with the story I'm about to tell you.
Oh, wow.
Because I was just sitting there going like, think of like one of the original a moment. It doesn't have to be a whole story. And I thought about this event. So I looked it up. I'm here to tell you.
Oh, I'm so excited.
All about, and tell me if you remember this.
Oh my God, oh my God.
From 2003, the Van Nuys courthouse shooting.
No, I don't remember it.
Oh, girl.
Oh, honey.
Okay. So when grandma was in her early 20s, uh-huh. this was before the internet existed, mm-hmm. comics used to, we used to pass around videotapes with what essentially were today YouTube videos what? On them. So there was, and it, this is things comics did all the time. So it'd be like, we're all going to go over to so-and-so's house and watch so-and-so's yeah. tapes. It was, Patton was the one, Patton or Blankapatch usually are the ones that had them. And they were just compilations of things you couldn't believe you were watching. So it would be like, the very first one I saw had the farting preacher on it. Uh-huh. So it's that guy that they dubbed over farting. You know that, you've seen that video.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen it. Then there was like CNN bloopers. When CNN first started,
yeah.
they used to fuck up on tape all the time. And there was people that would just record it and they would make like what? Blooper reels of CNN stuff. Of like, you know, that guy Bernard Shaw was the original CNN anchor. He'd be yeah. like asleep on camera. It was awesome. There's amazing stuff. Then there was really awful things like there was a orchestra that was playing one time that the entire stage collapsed while the orchestra was playing.
Oh.
And that was on there. Just random
that's
awful crazy shit.
Cool.
So this is one of those things that went around. This is much later.
This is like how everything is terrible came about, where it's like
totally
before that was a thing. This
exactly.
is what you did is you made compilations of fucking weird shit.
Yeah. Somebody would yeah. be at home and they'd be like, what is this children's show where a weird adult is teaching yoga? I yeah. better record this because I don't understand what's happening.
I love it. I yeah. love it.
So this was a clip that would have been on one of those videos. And it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I'll just tell you.
Okay.
It happened on Halloween, October 30th, 2003.
Okay.
Now, if you're from the Southland, you know that Van Nuys is one of the most gorgeous cities you could visit.
Oh, God. So she's kidding. It's just concrete.
It's concrete and discount furniture stores. Oh,
totally. That's exactly what it is.
But out in the middle of all that, there is a, what, 8-story, the Van Nuys courthouse.
Yeah.
And the Van Nuys courthouse is where you go when you fucked up in your car, which everybody does in LA.
I have been there because I fucked up in my car.
What'd you do?
I don't remember. I must have, I don't know.
A moving violation?
Probably. Yes.
So I had to go there. I'm still mad about this. I had a friend who on fucking Ventura, which is down here mm-hmm. for anybody that's not from down here. Ventura is the big, basically a 4-lane highway that's a street.
It's in a Tom Petty song even.
Yep.
Ventura Boulevard.
Ventura Boulevard. It goes 4 miles uh-huh. through. It basically bisects or runs up the middle of the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
And you can get on it in at like Hollywood, where the Hollywood Bowl is essentially. Yeah. And you can drive down for so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know how far it goes. So we were on Ventura at, I think it was like cold water in Ventura. Mm-hmm. And it was like 10 o'clock at night and we were going to go to a party. And my friend had just gotten a very fancy sports car. And from a metered parking spot, she flipped a U-turn on Ventura, crossing 4 lanes of traffic to do this U-turn. And we immediately got pulled over.
Ugh.
And I hadn't even touched my seatbelt yet.
Oh, no.
So when we got pulled over, these two these two policemen, I don't know what kind they were, but they were both young and they were hopped up in a way that scared the living shit out of me. And I was like, imagine if we were a car full of black teenage
yeah.
boys.
Yeah.
This would be beyond. And they were so aggressive for no reason.
Oh my God.
And they were like, I need to see your, he was like, this guy was tapping on the,
like,
my,
mad at you.
My window.
Mad at you. And it's not even.
Roll down the window. Let me see your ID. Like, coming at us. And I kept going like, I'm the passenger.
Yeah.
I'm not controlling the car. He's like, your seatbelt's not on. I go, we just pulled out of the parking spot.
Yeah.
Of course, I was sassing it up. I got a fucking $320
what?
Ticket for not having my seatbelt on.
Oh, no.
Or some insane. And this was when I lived in a studio apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dark times.
Right.
I could not afford it. And not only did I have to pay this really high number, I had to appear in court.
for this moving violation. So I wanted to murder my friend.
Yeah. Say her name.
work through it now.
Yeah.
So you have to go to the Van Nuys courthouse. I was so nervous to be in a courtroom. I was like dying. Well, you have to sit there for the 40 other cases before yours. Mm-hmm. So it was just like one teenage boy after another.
Sad, that was fucking depressing shit.
So depressing. Most of the teenage boys, it was for their radios, car stereos were up too loud.
Shut up.
Yes. They were all like, the judge would be like, young man, this is your fifth violation. You can't drive with your stereo up this loud. There was like, that happened like 15 times.
I mean, figure it out, Kevin. Like, just turn it down a fucking decibel.
Turn it down. I understand you're trying to make your friends think that you're a badass.
And everyone around you, you want them to not fuck with you because you're scared.
Yes, we're all scared.
Because you're scared they'll see the real you, Kevin. But let me tell you, as a fucking 37-year-old who used to turn shit up, you can't hear anything when you're an adult anymore.
The damage that I have done to my hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Is amazing.
Half my friends can't fucking hear anything because we all used to go to shows and shit. Like, you just don't, it's not worth it.
It's not.
Be boring.
It's not as cool as you think. No. Anyway, so by the time I got up there, the judge ended up reducing the dollar amount because at one point I just went, he was questioning me like I was the driver. And I finally went, I was the passenger. And then he went, really? And then he was just like, $120 or something.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Cut it down. Thank God. But the entire experience was nerve jangling and infuriating. So now I've set the scene.
Okay.
Van Nuys courthouse. Mm-hmm. Very strange, large building, kind of ominous.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm there with you. There's a Discount Furniture across the street. There's a Discount Furniture across the other street. There's a donut shop in the strip mall right there.
Yep.
It's probably got great donuts.
And that's the only thing in that strip mall. Everything else is closed.
There's also a nail salon.
Oh, yeah. There's two nail salons next to each other.
Yes. But otherwise, there's nothing.
There's nothing. And because it's Van Nuys, it's always 91 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Day and night.
91 but in a hot way.
Yes.
A stifling way.
A stifling yet dry way.
Like, and there's not one fucking tree in the entire city.
Funny that you should say that.
Why?
Almost as if on cue. It's perfect setup.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no shade except for the height of this building.
Right.
This cement building. It's dark times. So... And so at this time, because it was October 31st, 2003, normally you're so far out there, the only people that would be at this courthouse are people that have business there. It's not, you wouldn't go there for any other reason. You're
like
not there
for fun.
There's no fun to be had.
There's not a great restaurant in the basement. Nothing good.
Oh, it's a vintage cafeteria.
You know,
we have to go.
Like all the other courthouses, how they have nice things.
God, there's some great food at the LA County Courthouse downtown. Mm-hmm.
However, people do go to Pasadena Courthouse because it's gorgeous.
Is that true?
It's the one they use it as the courthouse in Pawnee in Parks and Recreation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm going to say yes.
I'm
going to agree with myself.
I'm agreeing okay. too.
Anyway, so, yeah.
It's like, I want to say vintage,
it's
but
vintage.
It's like pretty architecture.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
So, yeah, that's not happening here at the Van Nuys. Van Nuys Courthouse, they were like, we want to make it tall and upsetting looking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably, they did that in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the time, on this day, remember when Robert Blake had to go to on trial mm-hmm. for attempting to kill or the attempted murder? Or no, sorry.
The murder. Yeah.
Of
his
wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley.
Right.
So this is an amazing overlap that I didn't realize until I started researching this. So for those of you who don't know, Robert Blake was an actor. He was a child actor. He was Beretta. He was, he was kind of like he was almost like a serious Ted Danson
mm-hmm.
of the 70s. Nothing like Ted Danson in any way. Almost the opposite, really. But this is the first television person I could think of. So he
was like Magnum PI, but like serious.
True. Yes. Yeah. Didn't do a lot of comedy though.
Yeah.
I feel like Ted has better range.
Yeah.
So he and his wife were eating dinner at a very famous old Italian restaurant called Vitello's, which is on Tujunga, I think.
Yeah.
And Vitello's has clearly been there since the 50s.
Right.
And they left the restaurant, and then he said, wait here, I'm going to go back into the restaurant. I forgot my gun. And Robert Blake went back into the restaurant to get his gun, and while
he forgot his gun
in the Italian restaurant.
Why does he have his gun?
I mean, because that's where the gun would be when his wife is being shot in the head out in the parking lot.
Right.
He's not involved, and his gun is in the restaurant. Mm. So that was the suspicion, and that's why he ended up going on trial. And the trial and a bunch of shit took place at the Van Nuys courthouse, which is amazing, and I didn't know that. Because they were there, there was pre-trial hearings going on, because there was a conspiracy charge between Robert Blake, saying Robert Blake and his bodyguard, who's named Earl,
Do they think he actually pulled the trigger?
No, they think that the conspiracy was that he went in to get his gun really publicly while his bodyguard, Earl, was outside shooting Bonnie.
Yeah, so they think that he shot Bonnie.
The security guard.
Right.
The bodyguard.
Yes, okay, got it.
Yes, so they were at the courthouse that day to have the pretrial hearing about this conspiracy charge. It eventually got dropped, and they ended up saying they didn't actually really have a lot of direct evidence or real material evidence. Anyhow, we'll do that story some other time.
Okay.
But because that pretrial hearing was taking place at the Van Nuys courthouse that day, there were all these news cameras set up from all over the place, internationally set up, so that when Robert Blake walked out, they would have the shot of him leaving the courthouse, whatever the verdict was for that pretrial hearing. They hadn't even gone into the full murder trial yet.
Okay.
At the same time, it was 10 a.m. that same morning. And so all these cameras are set up. And meanwhile, 53-year-old wills and probate attorney Gerald E. Curry had just appeared in court himself as a probate attorney, because he was representing a client who was the trustee of a special needs trust for a 64-year-old man named William Stryer. And the trustee had said that Stryer had been threatening her life, and so she wanted out of this trust. Stryer had been injured in a car accident, and he had won settlement money for that injury. Mm-hmm. But the money was taken and put into this trust what I'm gathering, but I don't know for a fact, but what it seems like is that he was unstable and couldn't.
Because of the accident?
No, it just doesn't seem like
mentally unstable.
That there's some, for some reason, he couldn't manage that money by himself. Yeah. It was put into a trust, and then this woman was placed in charge of the trust.
So she had no connection, like family or otherwise, with this guy. She's like,
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because these are the details.
Yeah.
That was the case that Gerald Curry was in charge of, and he was her lawyer.
Okay.
This trustees.
Okay.
And basically the trustee was like, this guy is threatening my life. He keeps saying, if I don't give him the money, he's going to kill me. I don't want to be involved in this anymore.
Oh my God.
So that's why they were there at the courthouse for the hearing about that trustee's position.
Oh my God.
So he walks outside.
I've seen okay, now I know.
You know what I'm talking about now?
Because you said to Stephen earlier, keep this video handy.
Yes.
I've fucking seen this video.
Now this video.
This kind of made me happy in a weird way. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong video.
No, I think you're thinking of the right video. It's so incredible.
It's insane.
And the idea that this happened on the day that all these cameras were already set up is beyond bizarre.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Tell me.
So, Gerald Curry, the attorney, walks outside, just got that thing taken care of. It's 10 a.m. Gonna go get a coffee, blah, blah, blah.
The
whatever.
Attorney for the trustee is like,
yep. He just
it's
wrapped
like,
up.
I'm going to go to that amazing cafe outside of the Van Nuys courthouse.
Yep.
And
maybe go get my nails done.
Right.
He's standing there so it's like the courthouse is there, and then there's this kind of long rectangular courtyard. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the cameras are set up. And as he's standing there, and it's, the courtyard has bushes and trees and things planted in it.
Okay.
Remember this part?
Uh huh.
So as he's standing there,
just stepped out of the courthouse. A stranger walks up to him that he's never seen before and says, "Is your name Gerald Curry?" Now, what is our answer if a stranger walks up and says, "Is your name Georgia Hart Stark?"
No.
No, it's not.
Nope.
I don't know that name.
What would your intentions be if I was Georgia Hart Stark?
What can I pass a message along to Georgia Hart Stark?
But I know her.
I've heard of her. Yeah. But it's not me. But yeah. If you want to never fucking cop to shit if a stranger is asking you questions.
Yeah.
Why do you ask would be the response. Why do you ask? What's going on?
Yeah.
Or even this. Excuse me. Goodbye. And you get the fuck away. But I'm sure that Gerald Curry was just like, I'm at a fucking courthouse. Yeah. Everything's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So he says, yes, I am Gerald Curry. And this man pulls out a gun and starts shooting.
Shit.
Two shots are fired and all the news cameras are like, what the fuck Yoink. Is going on? Roll them.
Uh-huh.
And they start recording.
Holy shit.
You want to play that video? So this is, as it happened... He lived. He got out of the hospital.
I survived, which is fucking straight up.
And he says he didn't know the person. He didn't even see the gun. He hears the pops. He felt blood on his face and he realized he was being shot. So in his mind, he said, I have to be a moving target. I have to start moving. So he just starts trying to dodge the guy.
This video, this dude is legit like fucking tap dancing to get the fuck away from this bullet.
And he hides behind what is the thinnest tree in recorded history.
Yeah.
It's the most upsettingly small tree. There's nothing to hide behind.
He's like doing a thing of, it's like a cartoon where it's like, I'm hiding by this tree.
Yes.
No, I'm not. It's this craziest.
It's beyond. Meanwhile, the whole place in this video, when you go on to see it, there's a girl on a payphone in the background, like, what the fuck? Like 10 feet away.
Yeah.
Like this is like all of a sudden, handgun shooter. So apparently everyone that was nearby in the courtyard, all the cameramen start rolling. The people that were in the courtyard run around the corner. So the good news was that at the same time, LA County Sheriff's Reserve Deputy David Katz was off duty as a sheriff's deputy.
Mm-hmm.
So he was at the courthouse because he was working in the traffic court.
Oh my God.
Where I was.
Oh my God. He's your friend.
He was there working traffic court, but he's wearing a suit and tie and he doesn't have his gun on him.
Shit.
He's totally unarmed. He only has his badge. So when the shots start popping off, everybody runs like around this corner and onto the street, and he does too. Then he hears someone run up to a tow truck driver and say, call 911, a deputy just got shot. And then he hears that and runs back into the courtyard. Even though he doesn't have a gun and there's kind of nothing he can do, he pulls out his badge and he's like, I have to go back in. Sure. Like, I can't run away from this, and goes back in. And as he goes back in, the first person that's walking by, he says, where is the deputy that's got shot? And the person who he asks never breaks stride and doesn't turn his head to look at him and goes, he's back there, and keeps walking totally
calm as day.
Then a cameraman sees that exchange and starts yelling, that's the shooter, that's the shooter. So basically,
oh my God,
David Katz walked by the shooter and asked him that question, and the guy was like, as if nothing had happened, walking away from the scene. And so he realizes that's his one moment and he has to get this guy. So he turns around, runs and jumps and tackles him, grabs him by the neck, pulls him down. Basically, he said he tried to hit him as hard as he could because he knew that he would have to, like, this was his one chance, and he knew he had at least one gun on him. Yeah. So David Katz tackles him, and it turned out he did have a second gun.
Oh my God.
He just never used it. And then once David Katz tackles him, then a bunch of other deputies that come out of the building, they're all on him.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. And apparently one witness said that so the shooter's name is a man named William Stryer. And he was the person who had been injured in a car accident.
and he wanted the money from that trust. And
what the fuck does he think happens in life in law? That's our new show coming this fall to ABC.
What's happening in life in law?
In life and law.
In life and law, dot, dot, dot.
And it's like a mom. It's motherboard is the working title.
That's so I can relate to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
What the fuck?
I know.
It doesn't work like that. You've just proven you shouldn't have any money because you don't understand.
And because you're going through life, if something fucks you up, you just threaten to kill it.
Totally.
That's the reason that they were in court, is because he had already threatened to kill the trustee.
Yeah.
And then it comes out. I never found what the actual ruling was, but I imagine it was not for him.
Sure.
But he knew that Gerald Curry was the lawyer that was the trustee's lawyer.
So it has nothing to do with you, and it won't even help you to punish this person because they're degrees away from the fucking problem you're having to become from Kevin Bacon.
Yes. Well, and also he had already made the bad mistake, which is you're not allowed to threaten people and say, give me my money or I'll kill you. So that you now disqualified yourself from the money, but you want it to be someone else's fault that you don't have that money.
Yeah.
So you've decided that this lawyer is keeping you from the money.
Right.
And apparently a witness said that he heard Stryer say, when the shooting was done, he shot at him 6 times. And Stryer was hit 4 of those 6 times.
Oh my God.
Gerald Curry was hit 4 of those 6 times.
Okay.
But then once the shooting was over, before he calmly walked away, a witness said he heard him say, that's what you get for stealing my money.
So he, in his fucking mind, he thinks that these people are all trying to steal his money.
Yes. So at the trial, William Stryer appears in court laying on a hospital gurney because of his claiming it's because of his long-standing back injury. So he's in bed, in court, in bed, is a dream I've had. Do you ever have that thing where you're in a dream, you like wake up and you're like, I'm at school, but I'm also in bed?
Yeah, like you're the weird one in bed.
Suddenly, yes.
It's not like the naked dream, but it's like the, you didn't get the memo that you're supposed to be out of bed right now.
You're supposed to get out of bed.
Yeah.
So then you're trying to play it off and just kind of be like,
I'm not in bed.
No, it's fine. I'm just in bed a little bit in public.
Yeah. No, I've actually had that. Or like I've had the starting to wake up and you think there are people there and be like, no, I'm not in bed. I'm not sleeping.
Right. That makes me think a couple of my in bed dreams have been in being on people's front lawns in bed, where I think it's because when I first moved to LA, it was so weird to me that people live so close together, and so many people live so close together that idea of like
we're basically on each other's fucking lawns.
Yes.
Yeah. Or in each other's,
like, and I'm just going to sleep here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be out here. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Basically, his lawyer, so the shooter, William Stryer's lawyers say he needed immediate access to that trust fund because he needed a back operation so badly, but he was being barred by the trustee, and that's why he was so upset. And then he also was on Demerol, which is an incredibly strong painkiller.
Okay. From
what I remember of friends being on Demerol.
It's like Vicodin style.
Yeah, but I think it's bigger. I think it's like goes into the OxyContin direction.
Like opiate style shit.
I think so.
Okay.
So they were kind of using that. And the judge, who was named Judge Rubin, noted that Stryer had shot a neighbor 4 times in 1969.
What?
In 1969, he got into it with a neighbor, shot his neighbor 4 times, for which he served 90 days and got 2 years probation. So
no.
This is the way this guy dealt with everything in his life.
Yeah.
And the first time around on that, the way that all got pled down, the judge this time around was like, you tried to use that I'm on pills, there's something wrong with me thing before, and they fell for it last time. It's not happening this time.
And it's like, dude, you think we wouldn't have checked that? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. You got a bit of a history.
Yeah.
That's going to stick with you. William Stryer asked the judge if he could address the court. And then,
did he get out of bed to do it?
No, he's still in bed.
He just like sits up in bed and he's like,
ahem, he adjusts his pajamas. He
goes to address the court, but he starts to veer off track and he starts to say it's the cameraman's fault that they didn't stop him from shooting at Gerald Curry. Yes. So he starts trying to blame the cameraman who was standing around. And that's when the judge was like, no, no, you're not doing this anymore. Not only do you not get to make this statement to the court, now you're not allowed to be in this room. You have to go put your bed in the hallway and you have to listen through.
Oh my God.
You have to listen to the remainder of the proceedings through a speaker. So he got sent from bed out of the courtroom.
go to your bed. Yeah. Where it's like, take your bed to the...
Just roll that motherfucker out into the hallway.
Oh my God.
You don't even get to... We're not even going to look at you anymore. Because also that... It's so funny. My sister was in... She got hit by a guy who was shit-faced at 8 in the morning.
Oh God. Oh God.
Yeah. And she had really bad back problems. Yeah. And this guy pulled shit like that. He showed up one day in court with his daughter on it, like carrying his daughter on his hip.
Saying what?
Like, I'm drunk. Oh, sorry, at eight. I didn't have babysitting. It's like people doing all these plays to get empathy and sympathy and like to get people on their side.
Yeah.
She won. That's the good news.
Okay.
Judge Ruman was basically all over this shit and he was like, the deputy district attorney basically was like, William Stryer tried to execute Mr. Curry. He had no remorse. He never accepted responsibility. Yeah. He was still making excuses by the time he was in the courtroom.
And blaming it on other people not stopping him.
Yes.
That's bananas.
Yes. It's insanity. And also when you see this video, like, cause that is something maybe that would go through someone's mind of like, why did they roll record on their video instead of doing something?
Well,
but it's somebody with a gun.
Yeah. I get it. I get doing both.
Yes.
You know?
Well, also, but who would really... It's a gun.
Yeah, you're not like, going to run up to this guy and fucking tackle him.
Unarmed. And even a sheriff's deputy was like, no, you had to take cover.
Yeah.
If you don't have any way to fight it,
It
doesn't make a ton of sense to be like, no, I'm going to go take care of this.
Right.
And they, those cameramen who recorded that then also were the ones that were like, he's right there.
Right.
Like, they were all over it. Anyway, that was that's bullshit anyway. But basically, William Stryer was convicted of attempted murder. And in 2006, he was sentenced to life in prison plus 25 years.
Whoa.
And he ended up dying in prison. Because he was 63 when he did this. Gerald Curry went to that sentencing and he told reporters, my main concern is my safety and my family's safety. And so he said he felt satisfied with the fact that the fact that he knew William Stryer was going to prison and he would be in prison because he was so old already for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, that's all I care about and that's fine. Unfortunately, the shooting left a bullet lodged in the back of his neck. And he had a really bad PTSD after it happened. Gerald Curry died in 2012, which is very sad. David Katz, the sheriff's deputy, got a Medal of Valor for going back into that fray and tackling him. And he went on to work as a reserve deputy for in charge of search and rescue unit for the L.A. Sheriff's Department.
Wow.
And that is the story, the very fascinating and horrifying story of the Van Nuys courthouse shooting.
Dude.
Isn't that nuts?
That's nuts. And the fact that it's on video is so bananas.
It's so crazy.
It's like a time, when you didn't see that shit.
No, I remember whoever put in the video, I remember David Cross was there. Like, it was the early 90s, or no, it couldn't have been early 90s, but it was like early LA time of my life, and we were standing watching the video. Like, holy shit. It was so crazy.
Yeah.
And it was almost like Gerald Curry was defying logic by, it didn't even look like he was getting shot.
It didn't look like he was getting shot at all.
It looked like he was avoiding these shots, but the gunshots just kept coming.
Yeah.
It was horrifying.
And like, what a scary situation to be in that this is happening. And so far you've made it and you're fucking dodging these bullets, but keep going. Like, what? It's terrifying.
It's so crazy.
I mean, as someone with anxiety, I'm like constantly waiting for someone to just start shooting at me whenever I'm in fucking public.
Yeah.
And so to see, so I think what I meant when I said that this made me feel better is to see that happened to someone and he dodged and he was okay.
Right.
So like, it was like, the thing of, all right, it might happen, but maybe it could also be okay. Yeah, that was
crazy.
That's a crazy fun story.
It's nuts.
That's awful as well. Thank you for telling me.
Yes.
I totally forgot that I remembered that.
That's from my new segment, Remember This Horrible Thing? That had a tiny piece of video attached to it.
Hey, remember this?
Yeah.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Are you ready? All right, I want to get this right.
Okay.
This is important. I'm about to tell you about El Maravajitas, a.k.a. the Old Lady Killer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking buckle the fuck in. All right.
Hail up.
Hey, the capital of Mexico, Mexico City, is...
Mexico City.
Have you heard... Yes, you're so good at geography.
Yay. Ding ding,
you got it. Did you know it's the world's third most populous city according to this Wikipedia that I hope it's up to date
from 1974.
Yeah, it's okay. So it's estimated that 1 million of its residents are over 60 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah. So in 1998, when brutal murders of elderly women begin to start popping up in Mexico City, the press starts to speculate that there's a serial killer. And they dub the serial killer El Maravajares.
Mm-hmm.
But police are like, no, you guys are fucking freaking out. Calm down. This is media sensationalism. It's just that elderly women keep getting killed.
Yeah.
But it's not a serial killer.
Stop trying to link them together.
Yeah, calm down. It's not a serial killer. But Mexico has no shortage of serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
Gregorio Cardenas Hernandez was known as the Strangler of Tacuba. And he became a celebrity in Mexico after he was caught murdering four young women and burying them in his backyard. This is in the 40s.
Okay.
There was even a fucking porn based on his crimes.
Jesus.
Yeah. So he was like a celebrity.
Ugh.
He was in prison for 30 years, but in 1976, he was pardoned and celebrated as a hero because he had like changed his life. He like fucking played the piano in prison, learned to play the fucking piano. So they were like, no, he's changed. You know what I mean?
The piano's nice though.
I mean, no one who plays the piano can be a bad person, right?
Fucking heart and soul. Just get a little, get a couple rounds of heart and soul going. Hell
what if
yeah.
That's all he learned how to play?
It's not that hard.
Like, it's not. And they're like, he's reformed.
It's like, please stop doing that.
Boop, boop, boop. Oh God. There's also the sisters Delfina and Maria de Jesus Gonzalez, known as La Poconichis.
The Little Poconichis.
poke. Yeah, that sounds about right. From the 1950s until the 1960s, they're the women, older women, their sisters. They run a large scale prostitution ring.
Oh,
and they murdered at least 91 people. These two fucking middle aged women.
What for?
Because they, whenever one of their sex workers that they had kidnapped and forced into sex working couldn't do it anymore, they would kill them. They would kill if like a John came who had money on him. They would kill, like, these chicks were fucking bananas. Their Guinness World Record called them the most prolific murder partnership.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And actually, they both went to prison. One died there, and the other one served her time and got out, and no one ever tracked her down after that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I'm going to need the fucking, this is not media sensationalism. This might be a serial killer, right?
Yes.
All right.
Can I just say this really quickly? Mm-hmm. As you were telling that story, I started to think about one of my favorite things in the world to observe or listen to. Mm. Is, and it happens a lot in LA because there's lots of people who are bilingual, mm-hmm. or probably raised in like multi-language households. Mm-hmm. Don't you love it when you're standing by two people? It's, for some reason, it's always teenage girls in mm-hmm. my mind, mm-hmm. and they're speaking Spanish to each other because I think they're trying to tell like private stuff or secrets, but then they'll just say
interchangeably with English.
They'll say an English word perfectly, like almost Valley Girl accent.
Yeah.
So it's like, and a thing that you don't know or understand, and then it'll be like the car wash.
Aren't I right?
Yes, exactly. There's phrases in it. It's like, it's my favorite LA thing.
Yeah.
And I'm also a very bad eavesdropper.
Or a very good eavesdropper.
Or the best eavesdropper.
Or listening to people at car washes the time.
I wish I could speak fluent in a different language.
Me too.
And then that, like, the idea that you can do that and just flip back and forth. Like, well, now I have to say something private, and I know that this person over here is probably listening, so
I'm deeply embarrassed as someone from Southern California, born and raised, that I don't know Spanish. Like, it feels like I'm being fucking elitist and rude.
It's kind of rude.
It is.
Well, also,
it'd be easy for me to learn.
Right. Well, my sister and my dad went to the JC and took a Spanish class together. Yeah,
that's cool.
I know, I love that. But I wish I did it too. And also, I wish I hadn't taken French, which just served me.
I'm sorry.
It's like, I think a couple menus it's helped me.
Yeah.
A couple fancy dinners, and pretty much that's it.
That's about it. And my fucking sister-in-law is Mexican and El Salvadorian, so my nephew is part of that as well. And the fact that, you know, he can't talk to his aunt in one of his fucking languages.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel shitty.
Let's go to Los Angeles Community College.
Done.
Right down there on, like, on Melrose and, like, Western.
Yeah,
there's
Vermont.
A community college right there.
I went Is it Vermont? Out of high school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You didn't take any Spanish?
No.
Let's do that.
I would love that.
It'd be super fun.
Or can we get sponsored by, what's that?
Rosetta Stone?
Rosetta Stone.
Come on.
Let's have it.
Our minds are open.
Yes.
We want to learn.
Please. Teach us. Okay. Boop, 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 boop. Okay. Ba-da-da. Okay. So back to fucking El Matavajares.
Okay. I feel like you're
Vajitas.
You got the accent.
Matavajitas. Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Yeah, I think you're ready.
It's like, I know a little Yiddish. I can fucking turn that into something else.
You got the ear.
Listen.
Once once you have Yiddish, Spanish comes immediately afterwards. That's what they say.
Great.
At Los Angeles Community College.
That's their motto.
Yeah. Once you have Yiddish, the world is your oyster.
The world opens up to you.
That's really the baseline. It's kind of the Latin.
Yeah.
But for
yelling at your grandkid, your granddaughter, Georgia, in Yiddish is the Latin.
Don't schwitz all over my Chesterfield. Right? Grandma stuff.
Why am I sweating on her? Chesterfield's like a furniture, right?
Yeah, it's
Why are you sweating on
I took what I thought your grandma would say and then added it to something my grandma used to say, would be like, get off the Chesterfield. Because she, for some reason, said it's in couch or sofa.
But you know me well enough that I am constantly sweating, which is fucking true about me, to know that I'm not.
Schwitzing is the only Yiddish word I have, like, on hand.
Okay.
That was not personal.
Roy Scamotter is one of my favorite.
What's that?
It's just bothering, like touching and going through. My mom would say, Don't Roy Scamotter the cats.
Roy Scamotter?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Don't Roy Scamotter the cats. Like, I'm fucking with the cats. I'm fucking with the cats. Cats are doing it. You know, it's like, leave them alone. Do not Roy Scamotter the cats. Yeah. Okay.
Here's what I learned in Gaelic.
Okay, let's hear it.
Can you give me more whiskey, please? I want to punch someone. I'm saying it with a really strong accent right now, but...
That's good. I'm gonna repeat that to
okay,
you later.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm gonna try it when we're in
Dublin.
Yeah. I'm gonna use it.
Use it.
Can you give me more whiskey, please?
Yes.
I have rage issues.
I feel like I want to punch someone.
I feel like I wanna punch someone.
It'll help me.
Yeah.
And then
but I'm still gonna punch someone.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna try it.
And then before you get the third word out, they're gonna be like, we gotcha, don't worry. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Ooh, we're gonna have fun there. Ooh. Okay. All right. So back there in the early 2000s, so authorities said that the murders of the old women aren't connected and aren't the work of the serial killer, but there's a fucking clear pattern to the murders. All the victims are women in their 60s or older. Ugh. And they're found in their own homes, all of them, either bludgeoned or strangled, and afterwards are robbed. There's never any sign of forced entry, and most of them lived alone. And so I went online and did a lot of research because there's not a lot of English stories about this in English. But I found a website that has, unexpectedly, every single fucking crime scene photo with the bodies in them.
Oh.
Just one of those, like, surprise. Then I start scrolling, and it's, like, all of them.
Whoa.
And it's really hard. And it's essentially like your abuela. It's like abuela. Every fucking grandma, like Mexican grandma you've ever seen with her like house of her, like with her newspaper from the morning and her shopping and her, you know, there's crosses everywhere. It's like every Mexican grandmother. It's so horrible.
That's
like
awful.
You think you get to live a life of like comfortable dresses with pockets and like, you know, feeding your grandkids too much sugar, and
yep.
It's like that's the women. That's
yeah.
Who it is. And it's really fucking sad, and I had to, after a few scrolls, had to
stop
looking at it.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, it was really depressing. Okay. So the chief prosecutor in Mexico City, profiles the killer. It's Bernardo Batiz, saying that he has a brilliant mind. He's quite clever and careful. It was thought that whoever was doing it was taking the time to gain the trust of their intended victims because there's no forced entry. So one theory is that the person might be posing as a government official, providing them like an opportunity to sign up for welfare programs at the door, and they like the sweet abuelas invite them in.
Mm-hmm.
Years drag on, bodies pile, like there's just many murders of these older women, and authorities have all these different theories, but they really don't know what's going on. They said that there might be multiple killers. They find that there, one really weird detail is that three of the victims owned a copy of an obscure 18th century painting.
Ooh.
Jean-Baptiste Grisou's Boy in a Red Waistcoat.
Oh.
Which turns out to be a red herring. It just might be a fucking, that abuelas love that fucking painting.
Yeah, so it's like it was like the thing that was for sale in the market or whatever.
Right.
That they're like, oh, that's pretty.
So it just turns out that like, that's how little they have to go on is they're like, what's a connection? Well, they all had this painting.
Oh, okay.
Is that the connection? Like, who sold it? You know, they don't know.
Somebody that hates waistcoats.
I mean, who among us? Okay. So just to show how desperate they are, the killings would start and stop again. Or stop and start again, even.
I mean, the both directions.
They would go all over the place. They would stop, you know. No information surfaced. Okay. The killing of 82-year-old Carmen Camila Gonzalez Miguel on September 28th, 2005. She's an upper-class woman, and she's the mother of prominent Mexican criminologist Luis Rafael Morano Gonzalez. So that, finally, police are like, all right, now we'll fucking pay attention to this, and let's get this going. So they start the operation of Parks and Gardens to, like, try to find this person. So officers patrol the areas where the killer was active, and pamphlets are passed out telling, you know, the elderly women what Did I say it pamplins wrong?
Pamplins.
I did. That was just like one of my nostrils closing as I said it. I didn't. Pamphlets.
I thought it was a Spanish word that I had just never heard of
you
before.
You know, pamphlets.
They when they hand out all the pamphlets.
Yeah.
Pampolitos. Even was that a dirty word?
Oh, okay. Pamphlets. You've heard of them. You love them.
You know them.
You love pamphlets.
I love a nice pamphlet.
It's one thing about you, we know.
Oh my god, if it's glossy in color, give
come
it.
Come on.
Come on.
Okay, telling them to be wary of strangers. So sketches are distributed and they even pay elderly women to act as bait in parks.
What?
Like fucking undercover elderly women hanging out being like, who's going to come murder you? And they're like, we'll promise we'll stop them before they can murder you.
But please tell me they weren't genuinely elderly. That's that they what were like, dressed said. Up. As, really?
That's what this said. They even paid elderly women to act as bait in park
Shit.
Areas.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Well, that's kind of a good living, because if nothing happens, you're like, well, thanks for my $30.
Yeah, and they're also like, well, they kill them at home, so like the park is the safest fucking place to be right now.
They were actually scamming the cops. They totally. Were just like, yeah, this sounds like a great project.
No, I bet you'll catch them for sure.
But you're going to pay me $50.
I swear I saw someone weird yesterday. Maybe today is the
and
day.
And definitely in this park mm-hmm. and not at home.
I need money to buy my waistcoat boy. Okay. Boop, boop, boop. Da-da-da-da. Okay. So a witness reported seeing soon after one of the murders, a witness reported seeing a large woman in a red blouse leaving the home of a murdered woman.
Oh.
So police start to speculate that the killer could be wearing female clothing as a ploy, and cross-dressing. And so the authorities launched a massive roundup of Mexico City's transvestite population. No. Guess how that goes?
Badly.
Badly. Guess how the transvestites are treated in Mexico City?
Horribly.
Poorly. So ultimately, 49 of Mexico City's transvestite sex workers are detained and questioned and fucking hassled. They suffer through humiliating investigations before being released when their prints didn't match any collected from the crime scene. 2 months later, police, they just don't know what the fuck's going on. They think maybe that person died, so they start checking fucking fingerprints at the morgue.
What?
Just because they think they got like a word that he committed suicide. They like make this insane bust of the, like a clay bust of the person's face. Stephen, maybe you can find it actually.
Ooh, like best based on sketches?
Yeah.
Oh.
Of like who he is. Then in January 2006, the landlord of 82-year-old Ana Maria de los Reyes Alfaro comes home and finds someone fleeing. The landlord finds someone fleeing this woman's home.
Okay.
He goes and checks on his tenant, and he finds Ana Maria dead on the floor, and he calls police, gives a detailed description of the attacker. Police get to the scene fucking immediately, and they are able to track down the person who's fleeing. It turns out that El Maravajares is La Maravajares.
That means girl.
Dun, dun, dun.
Boom.
Yes. Killer's actually is a woman. Little old lady killer is a fucking woman.
Whoa.
Yeah. Twist. Aru. Juana Barraza is 48 and she's a single mother of four. She had close cropped, tight, like real short dyed blonde hair, mole on her face, and she looks exactly like this bust. There's like photos online of her standing next to the bust, and it's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, they nailed that. The nose is a little off.
Yes. She looks like the killer based on witness accounts, but she's not a man. She's just a masculine woman. And they catch her as she's leaving her last victim's house. She's carrying a stethoscope, pension forms, and carrying a card identifying her as a social worker.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So her MO would be that she would knock on the door, smile, introduce herself as a social worker, show her stethoscope, and then once she was in the fucking abuelas, they're like, come on in, you know, like, it's like, come in, that's
it's a lady doctor here to like help you.
Once inside, though, there was little conversation. She would strangle her victim, usually with the stethoscope.
Whoa.
Or some kind of cloth that was already there, and or stab her. She then ransacked the house, and when they raided Juana Barraza's house, they discovered her trophy room, where she had arranged newspaper clippings about the murders, also had objects stolen from the victims, and had a shrine to Jesus Malverde and Santa Muerte, who were... I said that wrong. Listen, I'm Jewish. Don't... I can't...
Santa Muerte. Is Muerte? Muerte sounds like death, right?
Santa Muerte.
Saint Murder.
Two folk deities often worshipped by Mexican outlaws.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah.
Oh, I got the Sante part right.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, here's... This gets bummer time. Like many serial killers, Juana Barraza had endured a horrific childhood. Oh. This one's particularly shitty.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, something had to have happened for a woman to be a legit, straightforward serial killer. Not Eileen Wuornos, like, my life has gone astray and I'm living on the verge or whatever. Yeah. But like
shooting a man and stealing his money.
And then being like, oh, this is a good way to make easy money or whatever. Like the idea that she was so classical, like straightforward serial killer.
And like she was ransacking their house and stealing shit. So the argument could be that
she's a sociopath that wants money.
Right. But wait.
Okay.
All right. So she's born in 1957 in Hidalgo, a rural area of Mexico. Her mother's a fucking crazy alcoholic. She's verbally and physically abusive and often trades her daughter to her drinking buddies for alcohol.
Ugh.
There's no way to like fucking not say that. So when she's 12 years old, Juana's mom trades her permanently to her drinking buddy, a 62-year-old man, for 3 beers.
Ew.
Like, basically sends her off with this dude.
This is like Mary Bell.
Yeah.
This is how that would happen to Mary Bell when she was little.
It's just so disgusting and horrifying.
Yeah.
And,
dark.
So Juana later gives birth to a son, and she has 4 children total. Although, and this is another trigger for her, her oldest son died from injuries sustained in a mugging. He was mugged and he died from that.
Oh, no.
I know. So she eventually gets away. She's a single mother in Mexico City. And she had always been obsessed with Lucha Libre, which is the crazy
this
popular...
This is the fucking... Okay, I just am putting this together.
Are you? Do you know? Have you heard of this?
Yes, because people have told me the very shortened version of this in like, in the VIP lines, and it's the most fascinating thing.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So she was obsessed with fucking Mexican masked professional wrestling, and she, as an older woman, was like, "Fuck it, I'm fucking joining. I want to do this." And so she calls herself La Dama de la Silencio. No, La Dama de Silencio.
The Lady of Silence.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Lady of Silence. She wears a butterfly mask and hot pink spandex, and she could bench press over 200 pounds.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Like, let's fight.
Yeah.
So she's really...
Let's
fight. She's really into Mexican mask wrestling. So again... Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
professional wrestling and murder. Look over on that side of the podcast wall. There's wrestling.
This
Look on
is
this
the
side of the
Hardstark Averill dream case.
Yeah, that we both are bummed about.
Yeah.
So by the time she starts murdering older women, her own mother was already dead, but she is surprisingly, by all accounts, a good mother. Oh. She lived at home with her 2 youngest kids, a boy who's 13 and a girl who's 11, supports the family through a mix of domestic work, street vending, and petty theft. But she's apparently a good mom and like kind to her children, you know, from what I can read.
A glimmer of something positive.
Right. So using fingerprint evidence, Mexico City prosecutors are able to link Juana Barraza to at least 10 of the murders attributed, like, period. So the only 10. And she says when she gets caught, "I only killed the one little old lady, the one that she was caught for, not the others. Don't pin the others on me." And they were like, "What's your motive?" And she said, "I got angry." That's all she said. She's like, "It's just the one I killed."
Okay.
But 10 of them, based on fingerprints, are attributed to her. And ultimately, she's connected to as many as 40 killings.
Whoa.
So she possibly killed 40 little old ladies.
Ugh.
Just kept doing it from the late 90s to when she was caught in 2006. But the first victim she's directly attributed to, that we're 100% sure she did, is on November 25th, 2002, when she barehanded beat and strangled a 64-year-old woman named Marie de la Luz Gonzalez.
Whoa.
So she could have killed way more than that. At this point, she goes to trial. She's 50 years old. Little old lady killer goes on trial in 2008. The evidence said that she would cruise public places in search of elderly women on their own. She'd follow them home. She'd gain their trust, access to their home to help with their shopping bags or whatever, or request a cleaning, like, can I need a job cleaning your house or whatever. And then, or she would pretend to be a nurse or a social worker offering a free checkup or information about benefits.
God.
I know. It's fucking dark. She's found guilty on 16 charges of murder and aggravated burglary. She's sentenced to 759 years in prison.
Whoa.
Just a couple.
Yeah.
She ends up like getting married in prison, but then divorces, and she seems to be kind of happy there.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's only ever admitted to the last killing, and she says the motive was the lingering resentment to her own mother's horrible treatment of her. But everyone thinks that she targeted old women as a way to get back at her fucking crazy, awful old alcoholic mother.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so got some kind of satisfaction out of killing these fucking poor women.
Ooh, but there is an element like, and I can't remember what one it is specifically, but the not copping to it.
Yeah.
Like going, oh, I only did that one. When it's proven that you've done the other ones, where you kind of, it's that thing that always happens to us where we're taught, when you get into the details of a serial killer's life, it changes it. Cause then you're like, oh, you never had a chance. That's kind of so sad or whatever. But then, yes, you did have a chance. Like that it was just that terrible combination of like whatever was already wrong with you, bad upbringing or whatever. But, you know, 40 old ladies, like, how are you killing an old lady?
I know. I wonder if there's this part of you when you don't admit, like, there's so many people that don't admit it, even though the facts are clear, and it drives me fucking crazy. And I just want you to say you did it and cop to it. It's easy. Do it. But I wonder if there's this part, like with her, where it's like, I don't want to admit that I have that in me. Yes, I can be a good mother and I can pursue my passion of fucking Lucha Libre, but also I am someone who's so dysfunctional that I murder old women. Like, you don't even want to admit it to yourself.
Yes, exactly. Like, she's, because there's parts of her life, if she was a good mother truly, then she isn't a sociopath,
right?
Which means then she's doing this thing,
or that even like she doesn't want to admit that her horrible mother affected her so much that caught, like, then that means your mom is still part of you.
Yes.
And you know, you want
to say,
I'm over it. I fixed it by being a good mother. But no, you're still doing this thing.
And you're having a reaction that you're not just like your mother for being that way. Now you're worse than your mother.
You're fucking worse. I mean,
you're worse than her.
It's so sad. And like, there's so many, I know, like, the grandma culture is so, you know, as someone who had a culture that the grandma was a huge part of your life. And I just can't imagine having to have that with the rest of your life, that your grandmother was killed in that awful way.
Horrible.
It's so sad.
It just made me think too of in Mindhunter. But remember, there was that killer in Sacramento who's doing the exact same thing. He was attacking old ladies, like, on their front porch.
Yeah.
And in that, they're so upset. Like, the cops are so upset by the crime that when they try to get there to say, hey, maybe it's there's this reason or whatever, then they're like, it's just a monster.
Yeah.
Like, they can't see, because it's a thing that's like, culturally, no matter what level of asshole you are, you're not going to be an asshole to an old lady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it means you're beyond a certain point.
Yeah. What we need to realize is that there are people who are always going to be way more horrible than we can ever imagine. They're going to be people who,
are picking the most vulnerable people on purpose.
Yeah.
Which is just like, that's so crazy. And then the wrestling element too is just
I know.
This
and it's
lady,
not even like, it's just like the fucking media in Mexico City in Mexico blew the fuck up and loves this story and went crazy about it. And the truth is, like, she wasn't that big in Lucha Libre. She just kind of did it a little bit, and, but she was really into it. And there are photos of her, and there's like an interview with her at like one of the matches. And she seems like a lovely, normal woman. It's so creepy.
It's crazy. Yeah. And also, women never, I mean, the percentage is like 1%, right?
Yeah, like even if she maybe only killed those 10 people, that a woman fucking killed 10 women.
Yes. And not poisoning, not the usual way.
And not with a gun. It's like a personal fucking attack of a stranger that you don't know.
Ugh.
Ugh. I mean, there's some deep-seated fucking psychological shit going on there. Oh, Stephen. I think on Instagram, Stephen's been posting.
Photos. She has a butterfly mask, you guys, and a butterfly belt.
And how fucking neon pink is that shit?
Her wearing a butterfly mask seems especially sinister. Like some kind of like, because she's. She is a butterfly. She's gone from, you know, whatever her actual life is to like, now she's this secret identity masked wrestler and she's blooming and
she was a coming into her own. Fucking in her chrysalis and shit, right?
I don't know. But then there's also like some amazing gold tiger stripes here. Like, I can't take my eyes off this picture.
Go to Instagram. Stephen will post it. My favorite murder. Let me take this time to fucking plug our fucking social media.
Good idea.
Great. I sound like a great person.
That's how we transition out of the darkest.
Yeah. That was the El Matavajares, aka the old lady killer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But God, right? That's dark.
I know.
Also, just if you lived in a city where old ladies were getting killed.
Totally.
How like sinister. You'd just be like, it's the devil.
Yeah. You're like, at least find someone young.
Please. You someone young and irritating.
Oh my God. It's one of those people with the young websites and stuff.
Yes. Like MTV, a hacker.
Like a hacker.
A young loudmouth hacker.
With a computer at the fucking cafe.
What do you, if you built this computer yourself, why would you transport it down to the cafe?
You get one outlet for 2 hours tops.
And you can't bring power strips.
No power strips.
Not fair.
100% no, unless you're going to let me use it. But you're not. You're using all of them and the whole... Oh.
Yeah. You're setting up your printer. What are you doing?
What is happening? You know someone's going to take a photo of you. Okay. Let's end it with not depressing things.
I really like that story. And I also like the idea that maybe we can set a short-term goal of like within the next 5 years, we can become moderately conversational in Spanish.
Okay.
And Stephen, so that's a half decade. Stephen can...
you're moderately in math or whatever.
Stephen can check it. And then we can eventually build to be like the girls that we hear having private conversations publicly.
Yeah.
And then throwing in a Lucky Charms.
Great.
Or whatever the...
Yeah. We'll just talk about cereal all the time. And car washes.
Cereal gossip.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a thing that you like for this week?
Yeah. I have a thing I want to shout out because it makes me feel not horrible.
Okay. That's key.
Go.
Are we calling this thing... I think we're still calling it like the good thing of the week.
Yeah.
Not catchy.
No, it's not. This doesn't suck. This isn't Murder Corner. No.
It's not, also not catchy.
Happy.
Happy by the performer Pharrell. That takes too long.
Okay. Well, this one is, so a bunch of murderinos got together. It was hosted by, I think, a woman named Sarah Norman, who's a murderino, is the person who put this together. But it's a murderino run. So just put the word run in murder run. No, you know what I mean? Like R-U-N.
A murder runner.
And they did a virtual 5K, which means like you have to say you're going to run a 5K.
Okay.
You know, no one's there to check your work, but like. Do it. Don't be an asshole. Yeah. And everyone would, raise money for the 5K, and they all did it, these fucking murder runos. They raised over $3,000 for the Joyful Heart Foundation, which is a foundation whose effort is to end the backlog of untested rape kits in the U.S.
Wow.
Over, so $3,200.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and they went for runs.
That's, all of that is wonderful.
I mean, it just is such a cool organization that I'm
the subgroup
murdering now subgroups are pretty incredible.
It's pretty intense.
Did you, somebody at a meet and greet told us that there's one called the Complainerinos, where they just go on and they just get to complain and everybody goes, yep, you're right. And they're just, you can log on and just say something that you're mad about like. And the idea of that makes me laugh so hard, of like just a safe space to go complain, get it off your chest, and then go back to your life.
I feel like this podcast is that a little bit.
That's, we're doing that. Definitely at each other.
I love it. Well, that's, it's just, yeah, it's nice.
It's so good.
What's yours?
I guess I would say, I feel like mine are always Netflix based, but
we got to give those recommendations.
I got to lay on the couch indefinitely, avoiding the rest of my life.
Definitely.
I started watching The Mind of a Chef, mm-hmm. and it is, Anthony Bourdain is the narrator, but it's about this chef, David Chang, who is he has the restaurant Momofuku. Mm-hmm. Momofuku. Is it Fuku?
No, you said it right.
Yeah, Fuku.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a noodle place in New York, or maybe other stuff too.
Yeah.
And it's just a really good, it's a cooking show. Or like one, it's one of those kind of, you know, how chefs live, mm-hmm. and what they like or whatever. But then he also like shows you how to make things.
Oh, cool.
In a very natural and not like slow way, and not, he just kind of talks you through it as he's making it.
Yeah.
In a way that makes me go, I bet I could make that. And there's one part where he was talking about, learn to make chicken soup. It's the easiest thing in the world. Then you can give it to someone you love when they're sick. Mm. It's, learn to do it. There's no reason you shouldn't learn.
Yeah.
It was just a super enjoyable show, but it's been out for a while. And it's, that same guy is the one who now has the series Ugly Delicious.
Oh, right.
That's his series.
Okay.
Which is basically a continuation. It feels to me like a continuation of that old episode.
And so just making you happy in between fucking Golden State Killer shit.
Yes, exactly.
Food shows are the best, man.
They really are. And it's that thing of, I'm not interested in making it.
Yeah.
I love to watch. I feel like maybe it's because chefs are so different than me.
Yeah.
Like nothing about that appeals to me, of like the work it takes.
No. The organization, the fucking,
they're like chemists.
So rigid, your schedule and your life and everything you do.
And the timing of, it's so easy to fuck it up. Like, it makes me want to quit just thinking about how hard it would be to make a dinner like that.
And then at the end of the day, it's, you have to serve it to a fucking bunch of plebes who might not fucking like it or want to put more salt on it or whatever.
Yes, exactly. So. Or they might just be there to criticize it. So like they're so, all they're about is excellence, on just constant excellence. Yes. And it's really impressive.
Yeah.
But then like, so then when you're watching a show like this, and then in their personality, they're kind of cool and chill.
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, you're the most fascinating person ever.
Well, Anthony Bourdain is like just a crush. He's just like a crush-filled husband.
Yeah.
You're just like, why are you so cool?
Why are they so cool?
I don't know.
It's like they've taken being obsessive and made it work.
Yeah.
Made it make them popular.
Yeah.
And also good food.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked it.
I like that. That's cool. That's a good, when you need a minute of something beautiful and good and happy.
Yes.
Food's so happy.
Food's really happy. It's a celebration. Yeah. And it's also like, watching him eat a thing. There's a part where they were like in Japan, mm-hmm. and he was trying, they were at this world famous sushi bar or whatever, mm-hmm. and he's trying these things, and Chef David Chang is trying these things, mm-hmm. and he loves it so much. The food he's being served is made so perfectly, mm-hmm. and simply, that he's like having a nervous breakdown because he's like, I could never do this. Mm. And it's the most fun thing to watch, mm-hmm. one person who's excellent at something worship someone who's really excellent at something. It's just like that whole world. It's just a world I don't understand.
Yeah.
That I love to watch.
I'm there with you.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's go out to dinner more.
Yes.
Let's go to dinner. Every night.
Every night.
And don't forget to watch Nancy Silverton's episode of The Chef's Table, who is a famous LA restaurateur and chef.
She's fucking awesome.
It's just an amazing, like, her dedication. And the reason her restaurant Moza is so insane is because she cares about every single item.
Yeah, I've met her. She's fucking cool too.
Really?
Yeah.
She seems super cool.
She's just like, just a cool lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Tell us stuff. You know, let us know how you are.
Yeah.
And
Stephen loves to read your emails, so write them in. Communicate with us. We like it.
MyFavoriteMurder@gmail.com. And that's it. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Elvis, want cookie?
Oh.
Want cookie?
That sounds like a frog.